Bhajan Rahasyam. This is our second class of Kartik 2009. We're discussing this Satayama section of the Bhajan Rahasyam, which is a description on this verse. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pavishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahiname. Of course, the experience of this verse in a true sense will actually be available only to the level of one who's someone who's jata rati sadaka. His rati, his bhav, has been awakened. He's a bhava bhakta, and has the eligibility or the access. He has a qualifier to enter into the deep realms of devotion due to his attainment of bhava bhakti. So he can go deep into the heart of Lord Chaitanya. At least he can enter some waves there. The heart of Lord Chaitanya is an unlimited ocean, Prem Sagar, Prem Nidhi. And it's always tossing and turning with so many waves. That's why he felt just like one drunk. If one drunk is wandering around the city and he finds other drunks, then he'll sit down and say, "Oh, this is good company." Yeah, "Oh, you're drunk." "Yeah, I'm drunk." "You're drunk too? Oh, sit down." And he'll feel happy. Lord Chaitanya, his heart is like an unlimited swirling ocean with whirlpools and constant pounding of waves of union and separation, union and separation. So he felt great camaraderie or friendship with the Bay of Bengal, which is an enormous body of water off the shores of Puri. He said, "Yes, yes, I've wandered all around India. I've gone everywhere. And this is a very suitable place for me. Because this ocean is reflecting, this ocean is very much soothing to me, the continual roaring of the waves and continual crying like moaning sound of waves. If one lives by the sea for some time, they can't help but experience that moaning sound, the choo, hoo, ha, ha, ha." And this is the same sound that Mahaprabhu would experience when he walked alongside in front of, he would rather dance beside the cart and behind the cart and generally in front of the cart of Jagannath during the Rath Yatra. Anyone who's been near the Rath Yatra cart, they will understand they're hearing the sound of that same crashing ocean, which is contained within the wheels, the 16 wheels of the cart of Jagannath. When those wooden wheels are moving, they're going, "Oh, oh, 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 oh." They're making this type of sound. We've experienced it directly, at least in a reflected way of the sound, at least, and it's very heart-rending sound that the wheels, the actual wheels of Jagannath's cart make. We have all kinds of rubber wheels and steel and ball bearings and double bearings and on our Rath Yatra carts, shock absorbers and air brakes and all these things. But there, they make the wheels every year, and it's fresh wood and creaking wood. It's creaking and fresh and not very oiled and not even oiled at all. And it's a ha, ha, ha. And then the waves in the Puri beach where Mahaprabhu was wandering every night in Gambhir Leela, ha, ha, ha. So this is the heart, that the heart will make this sound in the separation from the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, this is a very soothing place for me. I feel happy here." Just like a musician may be wandering around the town, then he wanders by some place where there's a group of musicians gathered and they're all expressing their virtuosity in music. And he says, "Oh, let me pop in this apartment here." It's called a jam session. They're having what they call a jam session. There's a few guitarists and some drummers and conga players in the park getting down on some beats, and he sits down and he says, "All right, this is nice. Hey, let me try your guitar." The verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites to bring out this point of this Vipralamba Prema, the Shikshastakam verse, Yugayatam Nameshina, this is Prema. We have left the level of Bhava. So the Bhava Bhakta, as his Bhava condenses more and more and starts bringing down the rays of Prema, it's called the Prema Amshu, Sri Amshu, Prema Sri Amshu, Prema Kiran, the rays of Prema descended from the hearts of the Premi Bhaktas and begin to dance in his own heart. Then he actually enters the threshold of Prema, and that entrance of the threshold of Prema, which is the goal of life, Krishna Prema Pamartha Mahan, at the threshold, before one enters into the house of Prema, he must be thoroughly washed when we enter some temples, you'll see, in Jagannath Puri specifically, and after you leave your shoes, there's a place where you walk through water, and your feet get washed automatically by water. And this is similar. Many temples are like this around India. You walk up the steps, and the bottom step, there's a continual flow of water. So you leave your shoes, your feet automatically get washed. And many wise devotees, they sit near that water and they take cups of that water and drink the Bhaktapada Jal Teen Mahabal. The water from the feet of the Vaishnavas is very powerful. So here we have to get washed by the oceanic waves of Vipralamba. Separation. Prema has two features, Vipralamba and Sambhog. Vipralamba is the gateway to Sambhog, which means direct sakshat, direct enjoyment, which goes from to sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, modanakya, madanakya, divyonmad, these various levels, higher and higher levels. And ultimately, prema's culmination is in union, in meeting and association. Well, some acharyas, they say separation is greater than union. But if you ask Krishna or Radharani, they'll say something different. So for the sadhaka, yes, it may be a fact that separation is greater than union, and we'll have to be happy with that because we have no other choice. Because as a sadhaka, separation is a basic feature of our bhajan. Even Prabhupada uses in one place in entirety of his writing, he talks about Vipralamba Seva, or actually says Vipralamba Bhajan, that our bhajan, our worship of Krishna, is and should come to that level of separation, intense separation. And even Prabhupada set us up, he wound us the clock up in such a way and pointed us in the direction from day one. Day one, Bhakti Joe is on the path of Vipralamba Bhav, Vipralamba Seva. How is it? How is Bhakti Joe? Because Prabhupada told Bhakti Joe, he said, listen, Bhakti Joe, you're going to chant this Mahamantra? And he said, yes, I'm trying. He said, you should chant like this, like the genuine crying of a child separated from his mother. That's Vipralamba, separation. And crying is indeed what one does in separation. Lord Chaitanya was crying. Chakshusha pravishayatam. Yagayatam namesheena chakshusha pravisha. Chakshu pravisha means the eye. From the eyes, the monsoon rains are falling due to separation. This is Vipralamba. Lord Chaitanya, and him, who's he crying for? Govinda virahina me. Govinda, Govinda, Govinda kaha, Govinda, Govinda. He's crying for Govinda. Hare Krishna is Govinda. Hare Rama is Govinda. So on the top end of Vipralamba Bhav, Mahabhav, Rasaraj Mahabhav, Mahaprabhu, he's crying for Govinda. And Bhakti Joe is crying for Govinda, the baby Govinda, or baby Gopal, and separation. At least he's supposed to. So that crying will lead to that crying. It's all Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So who are the greatest criers, the town criers, so to speak? The greatest criers in the world are the greatest devotees in the world. And what form of the Lord brings about the greatest crying? And what holy Dhamma of the Lord is full of the most crying? The Dhamma that's the crying, the Krandan Kshetra, the Dhamma that's full of the most crying is Braja Dhamma. And the Lord that brings about the most crying is Shyamasundara. Govinda Dhamo Dara Madhaveti. Govinda Dhamo Dara Madhaveti. Everyone's crying for this Govinda. Draupadi, Arjun, Kunti. They're crying for this Govinda, Damodara Madhav. But no one's crying like the gopis because they cry for all three forms of the Lord. When Akrura took Krishna away from the gopis on that fateful day in Phalgun Mas, then they cried all these names. They cried, oh, Govinda, Damodara Madhaveti. This verse is there in Bhagavatam. And from that, Bilvamangala Thakura expanded as Govinda Damodara Stotram. So this is Vrindavan, the crying place, Rajadam, Golokdam. And Krishna is the form of the Lord that brings about the most crying. And the devotees of Krishna that cry the most, Yashoda cries, Balaram cries, Subal, Sridham, Raktak, Patrak, Chitrak. They all cry. The cows cry for Krishna. Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that even the cows in Vrindavan, they've learned the art of crying for Krishna. with her upraised ears trying to catch the sound of Krishna's flute, and their heads lifted and pointed towards the form of Govinda, and with tears trickling down from their eyes, the cows in Vrindavan are crying for Krishna. So we can learn the art of crying by seeing the example of the Braja Gai, the cows of Vrindavan. So they're sometimes said to be in Shantaras, in a general way, but in more rasic examination of the Brijvasis, the rasic acharyas, they rather say, and they're quite content and convinced, that everyone in Vrindavan is Madhurya Ras, nourishing the Madhurya of Radha Govinda Yugal, participating in it at their own level, the waves of the Yamuna and Madhurya, the land of Brajabhumis and Madhurya, the Brajapara and Madhurya. And some Padakartas, they write bhajans and songs to try to bring that out, that who are the epitomes of Madhurya Ras in Vrindavan? Radha and Krishna Yugal, Radha Govinda Yugal. And who is really the energetic source of Mahabhava, of the greatest pitch of Madhurya Ras, conjugal Shringhar Ras, Srimati Radharani, Mahabhava Sarupini Radha. So that form, that person, that lila, that characteristics, and that name represent nothing but Mahabhava. So every aspect, every entity, moving and non-moving entity of Vrindavan is in touch with the Mahabhava of Radharani. In what way? Because they're all chanting Radhe Radhe, Sri Radha Radha, Sri Radha Radha. Every leaf of every creeper in Vrindavan, every leaf of every creeper and leaf, there's Shantaras, but they're chanting Radha Radha, that's Mahabhav, Surupini Radha. Every leaf of every creeper, Latapatabi Bole Sri Radha Radha. And then Vrindavan may Kan Kan Bole Sri Radha Radha. Kan Kan means that non-living entity, insentient, unconscious object. Kan-kan means a pebble, a piece of stone, rock, shila. Even the rocks and pebbles and stones on the footpaths of Vrindavan, they are also in Shantaras, supporting, upholding the ras, the lila. They're chanting Radha, Shri Radha, Radha, Shri Radha, Radha. Jamuna ki lehari, lehari. Every wave in the Jamuna is chanting, every wave, a wave, water in a river, that's Shantaras. But not the water in Yamuna. This water in Yamuna is Madhurya Ras. Shri Radha Radha. So they sing this song, very popular. Text 2 through 6 in the Bhajan Rahasyam. These are the introductory verses of this Saptamayam Sarana chapter, Bhajan Rahasyam, which is will be relished by the Bhava Bhaktas, and they will experience something of this Mahabhav of the gopis by hearing these verses and chanting Ram Ram, this last or next to last, this seventh pair of holy names, Ram Ram, which have so much Vipralamba Prem in these names, which Bhaktivinoda is perceiving. Each pair of names represents a different level. So, Ram Ram Hari Hari. The last two, seventh and eighth pair of holy names represents Vipralamba Prem and Sambhog Prem. And what verse rises out of Ram, when you chant Ram Ram, comes out Yugayatam Nameshena. So that's the mother verse, you could say, the mothership. And from that mother verse, then there's so many other verses that arise. Yugayatam comes, Yugayatam Nameshena is like the engine of a train. The engine of a train is pulling. It's pulling so many bogies, so many cars are connected, 20 cars, 30 cars. And those cars are all being pulled and transported by this verse. So Yugayatam Nameshena is like the locomotive, like the engine of a train, describing how this verse Yugayatam Nameshena, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur meditated on it, he said, oh, this is the locomotive, this is the engine, and it's pulling, and so many other verses are connected to this verse. And the first verse that he saw coming in succession, or krama, shloka krama, or sequence of this verse, was from Venugit 10:21:9, which we read yesterday, about the gopis are saying, oh, look at this, this flute, this Venu, it's so fortunate that it's drinking the nectar of Krishna's flute and we're not getting any. So this is their separation. They're not with Krishna. They're separated. It's called Pravasarag. He's gone to a distant place. And they're in separation. Vipralamba Bhav. Prem. And they're remembering Krishna. And they're hearing, resonating in the core of their remembrances. And resonating in the core of their hearts. In the memory, they're hearing. Like you may hear the voice of someone if you're very sensitive. And you even think, oh, the person's calling me. Oh no, they're not here. I must be hearing things. I must be going crazy. So the gopis are partially crazy, as I said, when everyone goes mad. So in their madness of separation, they hear Krishna's flute. They say, oh, Sakhi, did you hear that? No, what? Don't you hear? Krishna's flute. Are, how is it possible? You're in Varsana, Krishna's in Kanvan today, and 40 kilometers away, you're hearing the flute. Yes, you don't hear. And then they start speaking about the flute and separation. Oh, the flute is so fortunate, drinking nectar of Krishna's lips. What about us? So this is their discussion. This is their Adiruta Mahabhav. That in separation, this is one of the features of Mahabhav, that love is so intense that the lover sees an inanimate objects or animate objects, deer, birds, peacocks, parrots, or even trees, or even a dry bamboo, piece of bamboo, a flute, they will attribute human characteristics. Or they'll think of the flute as another sakhi or another competitor, which is a madness. What is this? It's a piece of wood that Krishna is pressing to his lips. That's all it is. It's nothing more. Is it more? You're reading into it. Like someone might read into your behavior. She's convinced. So the gopis are, anybody would look at them objectively and say, you're all mad. The flute is drinking the nectar of the lips of Krishna, not leaving any for you. There's nothing left over. The flute is capturing some wind from Krishna's mouth, and due to the arrangement of the holes, there's particular notes being made, and he's creating music. Boss, finished. What do you mean? Krishna Mukha Amrit. What is this question of the flute is drinking the nectar? The flute doesn't have lips, first of all. Doesn't have a body, so how can the flute drink to begin with? The flute is simply an instrument to modulate the passage of air through some holes. So this is Adiruta Mahabhav, very excessive attachment and separation that you project your own feelings of love, your own feelings of madness and separation onto even inanimate objects. This experience, this phenomenon is only seen in the gopis of Vrindavan. There's some mild representation in the Mahishis of Dwarka, but it's not to the extent, it's just something of a reflection. And moreover, those queens are considered to be simply expansions of the gopis anyway. In the commentary, one gopi is saying to another, oh Sakhi, I don't know what kind of highly pious activities this Venu, a dry piece of wood, has performed to profusely and independently relish the nectar of Sri Krishna's lips, which is meant to be enjoyed only by us gopis. This Venu doesn't leave a drop of this nectar for us. He's gobbling it all up like some brahmachari at the Sunday feast. You tell him, you say, listen, you save me some sweet rice. Yes, says, I have two cups for you, two cups for me. So he finishes his two cups. And he thinks, oh, where is this brahmachari? I've been waiting so long. You know. Anyway, I just take one more. I'll keep one cup and I say that, you know, I drank one. So he drank the third one. And then you say, oh, he's still late, you know. And that was too good. And anyway, by the time he gets here, it'll go bad, it's hot, you know, and this milk will go bad. I better not, why waste it? And your mind will create so many wonderful stories to facilitate your sense gratification in a very philosophical and rational way. But basically, it's still Maya, as usual. Never trust the mind until you have no mind. When you don't have any mind anymore, the gopis lost their mind. They say, hey Krishna, we've come here. Why have you come in the forest? We've come to collect our minds. Acha. What? What, your minds are between your ears? No. Your flute entered our ears, and yes, our minds were between our ears until your flute entered there. Your flute entered our ears and went in one side, grabbed our mind, and ran out the other side. You've heard that expression, haven't you, Krishna? In one ear and out the other? Your flute entered one ear, grabbed their mind, and went out the other ear. Flute in Pravesh, then Gaya, capturing the man, gone. You've stolen our minds. So we've come here to the forest in the dead of night to get our minds back. Give our man. Yeah, you're correct. I'm playing my flute. I'm enjoying myself. I'm just going up and down the scales, various trills and modulations and rhythms and ragas. What do you have to do with it? No, what do we have to do with it? You called my name in the flute, says Lita. And Vishaka says, you called my name, ask any sucky, they heard my name. And with, when you call my name, you call my brain and took my mind. So we come to collect our mind. So we can only trust our minds when we don't have a mind. When our mind gets stolen by Krishna, like the gopis, then you can trust your mind, because you don't have one anymore. But as long as we still have a mind, then forget it. The mind is the worst of enemies. Because the mind only becomes a friend when it's stolen by Krishna. No, my mind is very nice, you know, it's a very clever mind. You know. It's only conniving and contriving for pratishtha. I'm not eating someone's sweet rice, what are you talking about? But I'm looking for position, honor, distinction. Hey, you know I'm a biggest Sankirtan devotee. You know that? You know who I am. I'm a big pracharak. Oh, wow. You're big. Yes, yeah, I'm very big. Oh, no, all glories of Prabhupada. Excuse me, all glories of Prabhupada. You say, yes, I'm very big. Oh, excuse me. Oh, Jai Gurudev. It's all Guru's mercy. Guru's mercy. You all choke up when you try to actually say this, all Guru's mercy. You can't speak. Well, because you're actually possessing, you're trying to possess the adoration and control and own the adoration and distinction. Oh, yes, you're so great. No. Yes, I'm so great. No, but it's all mercy, my Guru. Guru Mukha, what's it? Mukham karoti vachalam pangam langayate gurum yat kripadavaham vande shri gurum dinataranam. Paramananda Madhavam. That's the fact, but to realize that fact and to live that fact and breathe that fact, that's the separates the men from the boys, the true devotee from the imitator. So we have to start somewhere. And the gopis are saying, what is this? He's not leaving a drop for us. He drank all four cups of sweet rice. And then when the brahmachari friend comes, hey, you say sweet rice. Oh, Prabhu, you know, I had it for 2-3 hours. I was saving it, but it got so hot. I was fearing it was going bad. No, it's Mahaprasad. We shouldn't go waste, no? Isn't it? It's like that. It's offensive. We throw out sweet rice. Oh, yeah, you're right. So, but anyway, that's nice. Good philosophy. Where's my sweet rice? Oh, well, you know, it's like it was hot and this, that. No, I know, fine. But even if it's, let me try. Maybe I'll find out if it's good. Well, I drank it. What? How many cups? 4. Your 2 and my 2. So it didn't leave a drop for me? I said, no, it's like this. And this happens not only with 2 brahmacharis, but it happens with Narada Muni and his brother. Narada Muni and his brother, who's his brother? Lord Shiva. Narada Muni got Narayan Prasad from Lakshmi's hand. And he gobbled it all up and danced in ecstasy. He went mad. And he danced his way all the way to Kailash. His flute and his, veena was going crazy, all playing crazy notes. And he arrived in Kailash, and then Shivji said, oh, welcome, my brother. What is the good news? And you seem to be really effulgent and really ecstatic and all kinds of funny tunes. And I've never seen you like this. You're really joyful. What made you so joyful? He said, oh, you know, after 12 years... I served Lakshmi Devi for 12 long years only with his son Kalpa to get a drop of Narayan Prasad. And somehow she gave it to me and I took it and I'm just going wild. Acha. Well, that's nice, my brother. I want to go wild too. Let's go wild together. And you can, we'll dance and chant and have a great time together. Can you have it? You saved a little bit for me? Oh, actually, yeah. I ate it all up. No, come on, don't tell me that. Is there something? He said, oh yeah, oh wait. I have a little bit under my fingernail. Just some morsel is there. Yes, give me that. So he gave it to Shiva, and Shiva went crazy. So crazy that Anantashesh was having a splitting headache. Had to take some aspirin. His head was splitting in half, and Brahma's heads were spinning around. He was about to get not only one headache, but 4 headaches. Because he has 4 heads. Shiva only got 1 headache. But he was about to get four headaches, and all the demigods were having a terrible time. They went to Parvati and said, your husband's really going crazy. It's not the Tanda Vinutya, it's not the cataclysm, it's not Pralaya. What's he doing? He's just practicing or what? His practice is destroying the whole universe. This is no way to practice. He should know how to dance by now. He should wait until the final moment or his final act. So she calmed him down, but that was a mistake because he got angry, like most husbands do. When their wives interfere with their personal ecstasies. So then he gave her a curse or two, and she said, you know, a few short words to him and left to do her tapasya. So that's the thing, that the gopis were saying, they were accusing the flute of the same thing, so it's happening everywhere. From the brahmacharis to the demigods to Narada Muni to the flute of Krishna, drinking all the nectar, not leaving a drop for anyone. Seeing the good fortune of the flute, Manasi Ganga, and other bodies of water, they're secretly displaying their ecstasy through their blossoming flowers. When family elders see that one of their descendants is filled with love of Bhagavan, they shed tears of joy. Of course, this was an old commentary, I guess. This is a commentator, actually Vishnu Chakravarti is giving this comment, where he's explaining how the gopis and or how they're speaking this and how they're seeing other trees and bodies of water who are all connected because the trees drink from the water and get their life and nourishment and produce their offspring in the form of branches and more trees and more stems of bamboo. So the Manasi Ganga is displaying happiness because there's some trees growing by the Manasi Ganga, some bansuri. And maybe she's thinking, oh, one of my bamboo trees is growing on my tata, on my banks. It's drinking my waters. Just like if Bill Gates becomes famous and gets some recognition, Pulitzer Prize or whatever, Nobel Prize, then the chokidar is going to tell everybody in town, do you know, my master won the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes, yes, my master. You're only a chokidar. No, I'm Bill Gates' chokidar, don't you know? So I'm connected with that award, I'm connected. So the water Manasi Ganga says, I'm connected with this flute, the Krishna's flute. I'm connected. I gave the water to the roots of the bamboo tree, and that bamboo tree drank my water, and from my water made more bamboos, and some Palinda women came and cut that bamboo down, and they made a nice bansuri, and they gave to Krishnaji, and he played it, My waters that made that bamboo, that made that flute, that drank all the nectar of Krishna's lips, that the gopis are glorifying, that's my creation. This ego is there. The gopis are seeing this type of ego. And that's an extensive vision, a very extensive vision that only a seer of higher subjects can perceive, or a mad person. So they're having that. And then similarly, since the trees have a relationship with the Venu, they emit streams of honey as if shedding tears. Now the Brajaramanis, means the newly married ladies and lovers of Braj, they're always eager to meet with Krishna, become even more restless. In that eagerness, a vision of the sweetness of Krishna's beauty appears in their hearts. In this vision, they see the Venu placed on Krishna's lips ever so gently. The gopis continue to reflect on the rare good fortune. And one Sakhi says to another, this is Vishnu's Tika, oh Sakhi, this Venu always relishes, because there's three types of flutes that Krishna plays. The Venu, which is a short flute, 6 inches or less. Then there's the Vamshi, which is 15 to 18 inches. A Vamshi. Then there's the Murali. Murali is 36 inches, 1 meter long. And they have different pitches, obviously. Shorter flute has higher pitch, longer flute has deeper pitch. One is male, the word Venu is male, male gender, and the other Vamshi and Murali are female. They're using the word Venu here, and they're even attributing this. Listen, this is not only is it a terrible, terrible theft that this Venu is stealing all the nectar, but it's not even another gopi. It's not even another female, it's a male. The Venu is a male. The word Venu is male, it's a masculine gender. They say, what is this? okay, I wouldn't feel so bad if the nectar of Krishna's lips was being enjoyed and relished and stolen away from us by a competitor, by a Vipaksha Sakhi, Padma, Shaivya, Chandavali. But look at this. It's not even a gopi. It's not even a, it's just some guy. Some Venu. It's not a cow guy. It's not a man. I mean, it's not a gopa. It's an ordinary male personality. Mr. Venu. What has he got to do with anything? How'd he get here? This is atrocious. This is the worst insult. Krishna, right in front of us, he's kissing the lips of a man and giving all the nectar to his lips. I mean, and smiling at us, see? Not only am I not giving you the nectar, I'm not even giving some Vipaksha Sakhi or any other gopi. I'm giving this male person, Venu, Mr. Venu. That makes them doubly furious. Because if it was another gopi, they can be furious but envious. So, okay, maybe she's prettier. Maybe the nectar of her lips is sweeter somehow. So they become envious. That's also transcendental envy. But now they're envious because they're not getting it. Someone else is getting it. But then they're furious because it's not even a gopi. They can't say, oh, the gopi, that flute has better lips than us. That flute has better, sweeter nectar, more beautiful hair, or beautiful form, or dances better than we do, or speaks better than we do, or just a dry, worthless piece of bamboo. Woe is me. The gopis reflect on the flute's rare good fortune. Now their mood changes. They start to, their envy cools down, their anger cools down. One Sakhi says, okay, listen, Sakhi, let's think of it another way. Everything's by Bhagya. You see a guy that has all kinds of money. He says, hey, why is this guy has so much money? I don't have any money. And someone says, hey, look, cool down. It's your karma. That's his Bhagya. He's a Kropati because he did lots of punya in his last life. He didn't do so much, so you're pulling a rickshaw. Don't be envious. Cool down. Don't find fault. It's a Mahabhagya. Krita Punya Punja. So one gopi, one Sakhi is a little more philosophical and not so madly attached to Krishna. She says, listen, Sakhi, you have to think about it. There's no doubt that to relish the nectar of Krishna's association, you have to have a lot of fortune. And who gets to have Sakshat Darshan of Krishna, just to see Krishna from a distance? Isn't that remarkable, an amazing, incredible fortune? To be there at Kurukshetra as an opposing soldier and see him? That's great fortune. We don't have it. We didn't have it. What to speak of? Be close to Krishna? Samipya? Samipya Mukti? To have immediate association of Bhagavan? What to speak of? Sit on his lips? That's called intimate space. There's social space, there's friendly space, public space, and intimate space. You know, the psychologists describe this. You know, 2 feet or less is intimate space. Very intimate if you're standing 1 foot away or 2 foot away, 2 feet away from some man or woman, especially woman. If you're a man, that's intimate. Generally, we keep 3 to 4 feet. Social space. And then there's public space, 10, 20, 30, whatever. Right on the lips. That's, you can't get much more close than that. So this flute is now, there's no doubt about his extreme good fortune, but he has now become proud and arrogant. And this we find intolerable. So this is how far they're going. Yes, he's very fortunate. Look how proud he is. Now they're ascribing the quality of pride, dumba, arrogance and pride to a piece of bamboo. You look at a dry piece of whatever, you're proud, huh? You're arrogant. This is a little bit cracked. Imagine if you saw some man, somebody standing in the park and he was holding a piece of dry wood. You're so proud. You're so arrogant. This guy's really cracked, isn't it? You say, well, I'm not going to sit on the bench with this person. Give him some space. He's a madman. You don't know what he's going to do next. Maybe he's a Hare Krishna or something. Maybe he's practicing his lines for a play. We find that intolerable. The nectar of Damodar's lips is meant for the pleasure of the gopikas, but the Venu considers it his. Damodar was born in the Gopa dynasty, and so were we. We're Abhira caste, we're Gopas, we're Vaishyas. From childhood, Damodar and all of us gopis, we shared love for each other. He is our Priyatam, so we alone have full rights to the nectar of his lips. But this impudent and shameless Venu, imagine this shameless piece of wood, this impudent piece of wood, is depriving us of our birthright. And he drinks the nectar of Damodar's lips just as he pleases. We have taken birth in a dynasty of gopas but nevertheless, we are deprived of the nectar of Gopendra Nandan's Sri Krishna's lips. Yet the Venu has taken birth in a dynasty of inert trees, constantly drinks that nectar. By doing so, he challenges us in a manly way. The day Yashoda Maya bound Krishna with rope, Krishna became famous as Damodar. And that very same day, we gopikas began our loving relationships with him. I guess when one gopi bound Krishna, then all the gopis. Interesting point. That Mother Yashoda, and how did she bind Krishna? With her ropes? She didn't have enough ropes. So she went to every gopika and every house in Gokul. She said, "Do you have any of these ropes for binding cows, calves?" And they said, "Yes, yes, you take." So every gopika in every house, young and old, they gave the ropes that they used for binding calves to Yashoda. And she collected them all, lakhs of ropes, and tied them all together. So every gopi, like they could also say, "We had a hand in tying up Damodar." Like the Manasiganga says, "We had a hand in producing this flute. We should get some recognition." So this is a very interesting point Vishnu is bringing out, that every single gopi is involved with this Damodar Bandhan Leela. For example, say we build a temple and it takes 300,000 bricks and you come and you give 1,000 bricks. It's not the whole temple, but it's 1,000. And 300 people come and build and contribute 1,000 bricks. So what happens? You build a temple. The temple has 300,000 bricks inside. So can you say this is my temple? Yes. And say, I am 1/300th of this temple is mine. Right? How is this your temple? I donated 1,000 bricks. Well, so what? And then somebody else says, it's also my temple. And the 300 people jump up and down and say, it's my temple. And it's a fact. Is it not a fact? Because each one donated 1,000 bricks. You follow? In the same way, it's simple logic, that each gopi donated a rope, so they all took part. So that's as Mother Yashoda simply confirmed and expressed and expanded her own vatsalya love and prema for her son Damodar on that day, then all the gopis also initiated their love. Because she was always binding him with her love, but not so profoundly and publicly until this day, in Kartik Maina, incidentally, on Amavasya or Pratipat, is the day of this Leela in Kartik, that Mother Yashoda bound Damodar. That's why it's called Damodar Mas. So she bound the Lord, but the other gopis began their relationship of Prem Sambandha. All the other gopikas began their relationship in Gokul. And began, let's say you can say they initiated, the elderly gopis initiated their Vatsalya Prem love by donating the ropes. They initiated it. Prem Sambandha Aramba, an interesting term. Prem Sambandha Aramba. Aramba means to begin, to initiate, to start. So the other gopis, the younger gopis, the unmarried gopis, the Braja Kumaris, they initiated their relationship with Damodar on this very same day because they also donated ropes. How old was Damodar? He was 3. How old were they? They were 2. So how do they have Madhurya Ras at the age of 2 or 3? They don't. But they initiated, they began their love, which actually fructified when Krishna was 7. And they were 6. And that was during the Kaliya forest fire Leela, later in Vrindavan, after Krishna moved from Gokul. And then they cemented their relationship when Krishna was 8, and they were 7 the next year at the Rasa Leela. He stole their clothes of the gopis and the forest fire on the banks of Jamuna and Kali, all that. But they began the relationship. Like you're in college, you haven't graduated, and you get a job with an international firm. The talent scouts come to the university and they say, "Look, we're looking for good students," and then you make an application. They say, "Look, you're accepted. When you go out of college, you have a degree in America. You have a job in America. This is a happens. So you can tell everybody, you don't have a job in America. You're not in America. You're in college. You haven't graduated. No, but I'll graduate. I mean, job is there. All I have to do is graduate. So in the same way, the gopis had already had Madhurya, a loving relationship with Krishna, before when they were only 2 years old. Interesting idea. And this, I was reminded of this because when we go to the Sangam, some of the pandas, they look at us and they say, oh, you know, it's Damodar Math. And they say to us, Rai Damodar Ki. So Rai is a name for Radharani. Rai means queen. Rai is a name that was used with an adult, with a grown-up, Rai. Radhika Rai. Rai Raj. There's a letter in 1968 that Prabhupada writes to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you can see, in 1968, and he says, in our temples, our next festival will be Rai Raj. It's called R-A-I, R-A-J-A, which is celebrated in Gokulananda Temple in Vrindavan and here and there, and also in Madan Mohan Temple here and also in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, in this festival, Krishna becomes Radharani's chokidar, and he holds his shield and his sword in his hand, and you move Krishna down a few steps on the altar below Radharani, and he has a half turn towards Radharani, protecting her with shield and sword in his hand, like a kotwari or chokidar. And Radharani is alone, a few steps above, reigning like an independent, solitary sovereign queen. Rai means queen. So this festival we call Rai Raj. So you can celebrate this festival in the temple. This 1968. You can see Rai Raj. And that is celebrated every year, usually 1 or 2 days after Shravan Mas and 1 or 2 days after Kartik Mas, to treat all the devotees. Subal, Sakavesh, Govindaji, then Nokabihar, Shamsundar, and then Damodar, Radha Damodar dressed up as Damodar is dressed up as Sakhi and Sakhi Bhav, and all these temples have different darshan. So Madan Mohan has his Rai Raj, and Gokulananda also, near Radharaman. So the pandas are saying, Rai Damodar Ki, which is not Yashoda, Rai is Radharani. So they're very much in Radharani, so they say, Rai Damodar Ki, Rai Damodar Ki. Because we Gaudiyas, we worship Radha Damodar. That Damodar, that Krishna that was tied up by Radharani in the Kunja with the Lata. Lata Sambandha. Not with cow-herding ropes, because there's no cows at midnight. The cows are deeply tucked in the barn, sleeping tightly. And all the ropes are left hanging in the barn. There's little hooks in the barn, they hang all the ropes there. And Krishna, when he goes out there, he throws it over his shoulder, ties it on his turban, and goes and takes out the cows. So here, Krishna came in the kunja, then the gopis, they said, oh, why you're late for the avisar? And there's so many Madhavi Latas, like this is Madhavi Lata going here. This is Madhavi Lata, and there's Madhavi Lata there. And the same as in the kunjas of Vrindavan. There's white Madhavi and red Madhavi. Or Malati, I should say. Malati Lata. Lal, this is Lal, and that one's white. One's in daytime blossoming, and this is nighttime for the Leela. So then these vines, they're pretty stout. See? This is Malati Lata. It's like a rope, you see? It goes all the way up. So that's what they tied, the gopis in this month of Damodar, they tied Krishna up with that. He said, you're not going anywhere. So we worship Rai Damodar. That's why the pandas are saying Rai Damodar Ki. This is Damodar Mas. Those in Vatsalya Bhav, it's Yashoda Damodar. That's not us, generally. Those that are in Madhura Bhav, we worship Radha and Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. So for us, it's Rai Damodar month. Even there's Sakha Damodar. We gave that class in our Tattva Darshan. There's Damodar and Sakhi Ras, Damodar and Madhuri Ras, and Damodar and Vatsalya Ras. Everything has many levels. It's not so simple. The more you know, the less you know. The more you learn, the less you know. Then you know that, you realize, the more you study, the more you learn, you realize that it's not study, it's not learning, it's surrender. Only I can surrender. All my learning and all my study must bring me to the point of surrender. And then Krishna may deem me fit when he sees that I've surrendered my body, mind, words, ego, everything. He may feel fit to give me realization. Yes, this is I will show you one percentage of one millionth of me. Because I'm unlimited. Ananta Rupam, Ananta Namam. But now I will show you, this is what I really am like. See? Oh, Krishna, you gave me that 1% of one millionth of one speck of your personality. I'm so thankful. So all our learning and all our education will bring us to that point where we can surrender. Then Krishna will do the magic and give his mercy. The two-finger distance will exist no longer. One finger is our chesta rupa, our activities, our pursuit, our endeavor, our trying, and the other finger is kripa. Krishna kripa. It's sadhana siddha, kripa siddha. There's only one way to get perfection, it's by kripa. Sadhana, you can only perform sadhana by kripa. So sadhana, we say sadhana siddhi, but there's no sadhana without kripa. Without Vaishnava, without Guru, you can't do any sadhana. There's no bhakti. No bhakti sadhana without Vaishnava. Let's finish this purport of text 2. Otherwise, as some people say, will you finish the Bhajan Rahasyam this year? We said, I don't know. Whatever Bhaktivinoda wants us to do. So we're only on, it's day 2. We're on Saptamayam Sadhana. We have one more verse, Ashlishava Parvatam. And in 2 days, we're still on one verse of this chapter. So maybe a few more years to come. There's too much relish here to go at a very fast speed. So we're particularly not in any hurry. We don't have any time frame. We don't have any degrees to collect. We don't have any tests to stand for. We don't have any beginning of classes and ending of classes. Krishna's unlimited. Harikatha is unlimited. Bhakti is unlimited, the devotees are unlimited, the Dhamma is unlimited. We're in no hurry, because every word is eternal. But in some cases, the time factor must be employed. That's also Krishna's energy, time I am. So Krishna plays with time. In some places, he plays with time and allows himself to be bound by time. But in other places, he destroys time and makes it non-existent. Oh, gopis, you want to dance with me? You're so much in love with me? Okay, watch me destroy time. This 12-hour night will become 3 billion years. Just, he blinks his eye. Okay, time, take a walk. Now we're going to dance. I'm going to dance with these gopis for 3 billion years, one day of Brahma. Okay, go for it. Time factor pulls its hands. Mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate sman. And mukti, time and mukti, they're all related. There's no mukti without time, because that's what mukti is, freedom from time. So mukti has folded hands and says, okay, you're timeless now, do what you want. Live, die, you're in the bhakti zone. Bhakti zone is timeless. Narada Muni's not subject to time. He dances on the head of time. Sometimes he's in the material world, which is bound by time. And sometimes, next minute, he leaves the time world and goes to the time zone. Leaves the time zone and goes to Vaikuntha. There's no time there. It's eternal present. Then he comes back. Seeing the great fortune of the Venu, the trees, unable to contain themselves, became covered with fruits and flowers and ooze honey. It is as if they become ecstatic, and their hairs stand on end upon seeing the supreme good fortune of their own child. They shed tears of love due to pride. And why not? The Venu is made of bamboo, and bamboo is considered to be in the family of trees. Bamboo is nourished by the water of rivers and ponds. The bamboo, the water is actually milk, like the milk of the mother nourishing the child. So therefore, the river is the mother of the bamboo, as the mother is the source of the child, her milk. The rivers and ponds are the bamboo's mothers. Seeing the rare good fortune of their son, the bamboo, these mothers, such as Yamuna, Manasi, Ganga, Pavan Sarovar, Man Sarovar, and Kusum Sarovar, sometimes laugh at the joy of their son becoming Krishna's valued flute. And they their laughter, what is the laughter of the trees? Blossoming flowers. Actually, Prabhupada said that once when he was walking at New Vrindavan. He saw the flowers. They had a garden. He said, see these flowers? This Krishna is smiling at you. He also said it once in the kitchen when he saw Puri was puffing up. He said, oh, see this puffed up Puri, puffed up chapati on the Tawa, this is Krishna's smile. But the flower, he said on numerous occasions that these flowers that were growing in our gardens to offer to Krishna, when they're blossoming and blooming and fragrant and colorful and attractive, he said, well, look, Krishna's smile. He's smiling at us. Our face is like a flower. The Bhagavatam compares the woman's face to a flower. Sharat padmoksavam bhaktram chascha shavanamritam. Her vacha is like amrit. Her face is like a blossoming lotus flower in the fall. Sharat padma. Sharat padmoksavam bhaktram. So the face is like that. Sometimes in their great rapture they express their joy through their undulating waves, and other times they shed tears of happiness. In this way the gopis endowed with Mahabhav, Adiruddha Mahabhav, deliberate upon the Venu's great fortune and their own misfortune. They display asuya, envy, and other sanchari bhavs. The gopis say, in his previous life, this Venu must have performed some severe austerity or pious activity. If we knew what he did, we would also do the same activity and attain the same rare good fortune. Imagine going up to, taking a bamboo flute and saying, listen, you, hey buddy, what did you do? What punya and sukriti did you perform in your past lives to attain the association of Krishna? Tell me, how you got to rest on his lips, how you got to drink the nectar of his lips. Speak! Why aren't you speaking? What's you did? You did Nirjali Kadasi, you did Govardhan Prikram. What did you do? You went to Kartik classes and Swamiji's ashram. What punya did you do? Now, what will you think of that person? Pagal? Ati Pagal. Sub Pagal. Completely Pagal. Totally crazy. We have to ask this flute. If we knew what he'd do, Purnamasi is a perfected ascetic, yogi, yogini, who knows past, present, and future. Let us go ask her. She must be knowing what this bamboo flute did in its last life. By acting according to her instruction, we will attain this rare good fortune. Sanatana Goswami in his Tika, he says that this verse was spoken by none other than Sri Radha Brishabhanu Nandini herself. As she reveals her bhavas to her dear Lalita Sakhi. Upon analyzing the various statements and indications in this shloka, it appears that this prema is on the level of Adiruddha Mahabhav, which we discussed last year. So this is an example of the extreme Mahabhav. And one of the symptoms of Adiruddha Mahabhav is ascribing or projecting your own feelings into other living entities like deer and birds or even insentient living entities like flutes and dried bamboo flutes in this case. So tomorrow we'll continue with another text from this Venu Gita, which further describes this extraordinary state of Mahabhav, which the Bhava Bhakta, the Jatarati Sadaka, at the level of Satama Yama Sadhana, who is relishing Yugayutana Meshina and the words Ram Ram in his own internal Bhav Bhajan, is experiencing something of these feelings of Radha and Krishna.